Slug Magazine is back once again to host its 8th annual Slug Cat on June 27th, presented by New Belgium Brewing and Sparrow Electric. Inspired by the scavenger hunt-style bicycle races made popular by bike messengers in places like New York and San Francisco, Slug Cat has become a quintessential part of any SLC rider's summer. Learn more at slugmag.com.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves. My name is Cecil Smith. My pronouns are he or they. My musical project is PK Opal. I would say that it's kind of just psychedelic, queer, electronic music. That's the best I can come up with in terms of genre. I learned early on that experimenting was really important to my process, and I enjoyed it a lot. Even like in high school, I would like get on GarageBand and make a bunch of weird shit and just have a great time. This is kind of me just being like, I can do whatever I want. It's just me making this music. I'm not with a group. So I'm just kind of like, this is what I think sounds cool. I was asked to play 12 Minutes Max by a few folks at the library, but I played just kind of a standard PK Opal set, me with like guitar and like backing tracks and weird pedal effects. After you perform there's like this Q&A from the audience, and there were these two like older hippie cis white men who like took up the entire time just kind of like lightly criticizing my performance, saying things like, were you singing off key on purpose? One of them asked, like, I can't understand what you're saying, so are like the lyrics important because I can't understand you? And it was really like hard for me to react to that. I mean, what do you say? Like, yeah, I'm a bad singer, you know? Like, I just, and like, when I would try to come up with like an appropriate answer to that, they were like pressing it, almost implying that I didn't know, or like that I didn't understand my own music. And I guess like that just solidified to me that like there really are so many like oppressive structures in place, especially in academia. I feel like academic music is so just like cut and dry with what people expect from you, and it's frustrating because like I know that there are interesting and like complicated things that I'm doing musically, but some old white guy is always going to be like, well, you didn't hit that note. I don't know what you said there because you put too many effects on your vocals, and this is not the point. The point isn't to like appease you or to come off as super polished in your like frame of aesthetics. This is my own frame of aesthetics. You know, it's not just for you. It's not to reach the widest audience. It's to be the most honest to myself that I can be. This idea that you have to learn the rules before you can break them rings true to the extent that, like, the rules are accessible to people. And honestly, I don't know if that's always true. I feel like my favorite artists are people who didn't have access to, like, traditional training or schooling. As rigid as jazz has become in this country and in our education systems, like, originally it wasn't like that. It was about, like, freedom to explore form and, you know, break the rules. And I think it's pretty obvious that a lot of people didn't have access to, like, classical training. Knowledge has become this capitalist exchange. So I think it's even more rebellious to say, fuck that, I'm just gonna figure it out. Glittering Serpent is my first PK Opal record, and I was writing that early 2017. That's when I first started writing it, and, like, Trump had just been elected, and, like, there was this rise in hate crimes. I was attending, like, protests occasionally, but I was also, like, unemployed. I wasn't leaving my house much, pretty isolated, so it kind of feels like similar to how things are right now, I guess. There's lots of protests, lots of political, like, activity, and then, like, isolation. So I guess it's kind of weird to see how I'm kind of re-feeling some of those things. But some of the songs were kind of written like, this is how I'm feeling right now. Some of them were kind of like, I just want to be unapologetically queer. One of them I actually partially wrote back in, like, 2012 when I was exiting the LDS church. I was sort of coming to terms with my sexuality and my gender identity and kind of just feeling really demonized by the culture that was prevalent in Utah County where I lived. And some of the symbols and phrasing that I use on the album, I would say, is an extension of that, even though I was older at this point. You know, I was pretty comfortable with my identity. So I feel like some of it, you know, came from this bad feeling of feeling demonized. Some of it came from, like, feeling good about being demonized, I guess. Kind of just like, yeah, I am weird and I'm scary. Stay away from me, you know? Say I am. Part of commodifying my mental illness is there's this part where I say, staring into demon eyes, fluid running down my thighs. That particular line is, like, about me watching lesbian porn for the first time. And I kind of had this, like, weird experience while I was leaving the LDS church. Because while you're leaving something like that, your identity is being questioned by yourself, and you have a lot of cognitive dissonance, and you're kind of just confused, and you don't know what's right and wrong. So I kind of had a strange experience where I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself, and that kind of scared me, and I didn't know how to cope with it. So I guess that's kind of like the staring into demonized bit. That is really important to all of the art that I make is symbols and how they can communicate things to people. Symbolism, obviously, like, that's a really important thing with my writing. And I would say that became a lot more, like, mystical on this album than previous projects that I worked on where, like, I had plenty of metaphors and stuff, but this was less didactic than that and more centered on, like, these symbols that I felt were almost like a cult. Something that like modern occultism does is that it takes Western symbols and repurposes them. And so I think something like a serpent that's seen as like devilish or evil, and then kind of reworking that to be something that's just like gorgeous and beautiful and strong was kind of my intention, I think, with that album title. Plus snakes are just like cool, I don't know. It's something that's classically seen as like poisonous or deadly or wrong, or, you know, Satan took the form of a snake in the Garden of Eden, and this is sort of me like saying, actually, this is like a really powerful image, and the things people tell you are evil about you can be good, and they can be strengths if you just learn how to accept them and learn how to love those parts of yourself. Our glitter don't mean wealth, just plastic particles. You can't afford our good health, our diseases sparkle. We'll bank on being famous in a world that fucking hates us. I'm working on a new album. I'm about halfway done, but kind of something that I've been getting back into is kind of this concept of like new sincerity, which is also known as like post-postmodernism, like very obnoxiously. It's almost like confessional poetry a little bit. A lot of like new wave was considered to be new sincerity. It was popular throughout like that really indie genre. I feel like we're just kind of at this point in the human experience where we're all just like, holy shit, what is going on? There's been plenty of other global pandemics, but nothing where we've had this much of a globalist society. And nothing where, I would say, you know, people not having access to healthcare, like, to this extent, and people being evicted, even right now. You know, while the whole world is literally sick and we're, like, evictions are legal. No one in my generation has experienced something like this. And so I feel like it's just this kind of unique position we're in, and I think it's just important that I be honest and, like, sincere about it. I think that so much of our culture is, like, what aesthetics are easy to sell, what mindsets, what belief systems are easy to sell. I mean, there's a reason you see like celebrities flocking to certain belief systems. We have this really like commodifying attitude about everything. We saw that recently with those black squares people were publishing on their social media instead of using their privileged voices to amplify others. They were saying, I'm gonna shut up. And then it ended up like clogging that hashtag with a bunch of useless black squares that like hid valuable information from people. Previously, you were seeing a bunch of GoFundMes and a bunch of petitions. And because a bunch of people wanted to like hop on the bandwagon of a commodity version of this, they ended up hurting the like people who were legitimately trying to help. I want to be able to be honest and like speak to this idea of like truth as something that is outside of like these constructs and systems that we've made that are so harmful for the earth and other people. And I'm still figuring out how to do that, but that's kind of the goal, I guess, with this new album.
A cocoon splits open and a moth pours out. It realizes itself. This moth has no mouth, and must mate before it starves to death. It realizes that it can either give its existence meaning through procreation or do nothing, and starve in vain. The moth sees that it was coerced into this position by metamorphosis, its second birth.
You're about to hear Commodifying My Mental Illness. This song is about wanting to run away from your mental illness and feeling kind of trapped by it, recognizing that other people can be judgmental about it. The point of this song is kind of, mental illness is pretty hard, but you'll be okay. And there's still hope.
Creativity springs from every moment. You must not be your own obstacle. You must not be owned by the environment you're in.
You can stream me pretty much everywhere. Any of the like popular streaming services. Spotify, Tidal, YouTube, I think, Google, I don't know, Apple Music. I was hoping to have the album finished sometime in August, but I don't think that's gonna happen. So, probably the end of 2020, I'm hoping to have like a final product, but I don't really give myself deadlines, so don't hold me to it. If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Want Slug Magazine to come to you? Enjoy Slug Magazine all year long, no matter where you are. We offer subscription services to the United States for just $35 a year. Visit slugmag.bigcartel.com to sign up for your Slug Magazine subscription.